Amen. Thank you, Quartet, for leading us in such a beautiful, powerful song. Good morning, everyone. Trust you're doing well. I've got to take these off here. Trust you're doing well. It's good to see everybody here this morning. If you're visiting with us, great to have you with us here this Sunday morning. This is a time in service, a very sacred time, that we take time to reflect on the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And some amazing songs that we've began singing to help center our minds and our hearts on what Jesus did for us on the cross. You know, to sing about God's amazing love, how I'm forgiven because he was forsaken. And that's what we can take time this morning to remember. God's amazing love, God's amazing forgiveness, and what that means for each and every one of us. Now, I'm going to lead us in a lesson this morning that's going to prepare our minds and our hearts for taking communion later on. But as I talk about, again, I'm going to talk about love, I'm going to talk about forgiveness. I want you to really reflect on love, reflect on forgiveness as we take the Lord's Supper later on here this morning. You know, the title of my lesson this morning is Faith Expressing Itself Through Love. Faith expressing itself through love. You know, last week I did a communion and I talked about God is love. How God loves us unconditionally. He loves us sacrificially. And how God loves us eternally. You know, and Danny Brisbois, who leads a church in Hamilton, he preached a lesson about sacred fellowship and what that should mean to each and every one of us. And he looked at and talked about the Good Samaritan. You know, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, the character of God, the greatest commandment of God, is all centered on love. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, if you have a Bible, if you turn there with me. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Actually, we'll begin reading in verse 5. It says, by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You know, what did it mean to Paul? What did Paul say? That the only thing that counts is not the, it's not about the religious requirements. It's not about the Jewish laws. It's not about following the old covenant. It is about faith, having a faith, expressing itself through love. As we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, thank you so much that you love each and every one of us. And Father, you demonstrated that by sending your Son to die on the cross. And Father, thank you so much that through his death, burial, and resurrection, Father, we're able to have a relationship with you. But Father, because of your amazing love, Father, you have showered us, God, with your forgiveness. And Father, yet we are so unworthy of your love and your forgiveness. But Father, you have given it to us through your Son. And Father, I pray as we study your word here today, Father, I pray that we can have open hearts, open minds. Father, to really examine our hearts. Father, to really think about your love and your forgiveness. And that, Father, we can be those who live lives of love and forgiveness in our lives. Father, please bless our time as we study your word. Please work through each and every one of our hearts, whether we're a believer or not, Father, to have a better grasp as to how we need to live our lives for you. Father, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I believe that all of us want to love, and all of us want to be loved. Would that be an accurate assessment? That all of us want to, well, maybe all of us want to be loved. And I'm sure all of us want to as well. We all want to love others as well. You know, many people spend time looking for love in all the wrong places. Everyone is interested in it, longing for it, want to know more about it. People dream about it. And there are many songs that talk about love. You know, you think about in the 50s, a song like When I Fall in Love. For those who are older, you know who sings that song? There you go. In 1960, Can't Help Falling in Love. There you go, of course, Elvis Presley. 1960s, All You Need Is Love. The Beatles, there you go. Baby, I Love Your Way. I'd be shocked if any of you get this. Either way, I'm going to go on. It might be hard. It's someone by the name of Peter Frampton. Many here would know, All Out of Love. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. Air Supply. Many would know, I Will Always Love You. Of course. And as we jump into the 2000s, Crazy Love. There you go. And as we even think about 2016, Love Yourself. There you go. See? Oh, everyone else is going, Love Yourself. Who wrote that song? Of course, someone who's in the camper is going to go, of course, Justin Bieber. Someone here are probably going, Justin who? No, Justin Bieber. Of course, there's songs about love, songs about the hopes of love, so many songs about the disappointments of love, people frustrated by love. You think about so many different songs about love from one extreme to the other. You think about how people are frustrated because of disappointing love, people hurting because of failures in love. You know, before I became a disciple, you know, I thought I knew what love was. When I was in grade one, 5 years old, thought I was in love with my school teacher. Well, I realized, you know what? I wasn't. Then I became a teenager. I thought, I'm in love. I think I found the person that I'm going to marry. A couple times. Only to have mistrust, conflict, disappointment to the point where I said, as a teenager, I was like, you know what? This relationship stuff is too much for me. I don't want to have a relationship right now. Because I thought, you know, I thought I figured out what love is, thought I could identify it, but it was only when I became a Christian that I really understand what true love is. And when I think about a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you don't need to turn there, but it says that now about your love for one another, we don't need to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God how to love each other. You know, the one thing I had to realize was I had different ideas as to what love was or what it wasn't. But what I realized, I needed to be taught by God, the author of love, the one who is love. I needed to be taught by God what love is, and how you truly demonstrate love in our lives. You know, we're going to look at two points here today. The first I want to talk about is a faith that expresses love in action. A faith that expresses love in action. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 2. You know, for many, faith is intellectual, debated, logical. That faith is just something that you believe. The same way for many, believe that love is simply something that you just simply feel. But in James chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 14. In verse 14 of James chapter 2, it says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds. Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You know, first and foremost, I think it's important to understand that there is no amount of work, there is no amount of good deeds that can save us. Amen to that. We are imperfect people, we're all sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. But we are saved by faith and not by our deeds. However, love for God and love for others is a response of our faith. We're not saved by our faith, but deeds, love, is a response of our faith in God. And James helps us understand here more about faith and also how it's demonstrated, expressed through love and action. And he talks about how faith is not just something you say. That faith and love go beyond talk. That faith is not just something you say. You can't just say, keep warm and well fed and not do anything else beyond that. You know, there are many different proverbs, many different quotes that talk about the importance of faith being demonstrated in action, love being demonstrated in action. And one person said, I've always thought the actions of men are the best interpreters of their thoughts. Another person said, Benjamin Franklin said, well done is better than well said. Another person said, remember, people will judge you by your actions, not your intentions. You may have a heart of gold, but so does a hard-boiled egg. Another person said, men expect too much, do too little. Another person said, an African proverb said, when deeds speak, words are nothing. You know, I think we all would agree, and even if you think about it in the world, that, you know, talk is cheap. That in terms of, Doug said that because I believe that's his email address. But it's true, talk is cheap. That love and faith must go beyond simple words. You can't just keep warm and well fed and do nothing about the person's needs. We also see here that faith and love is not just something you feel. You know, you think about different people, they believe love is just something, just simply something that you feel. Faith is something that you just simply feel. That we could be emotionally moved by something. And even say, I wish you well. And really be sincere. But we need to understand that faith and love is more than just an emotion. It is more than just a sentiment. To the world, love is an emotion. And there are emotions that can accompany love. But true love, genuine love, is demonstrated in a commitment. Demonstrated in an expression to others that is demonstrated through deeds. You know, faith and love is expressed in deeds, as we read here in James, demonstrated in what we do. That faith is demonstrated in action. Love is demonstrated in action. In what we do for our fellow man. You know, when we think about our faith and what God calls us to, you know, God calls us to love families, to love strangers, to love our neighbors, to love our siblings, our kids, our parents, to love our enemies, to love those in the world. To have the same kind of heart that Jesus, God sent his son because he loved the world. And in the world, it includes people from all walks of life. And we are called to have that faith that expresses love in different ways to all kinds of people. and also to love when there's no advantage to us. Yeah, I mean, that's how I grew up in terms, you know, you love and you give love and you're expecting something back. You don't get something back, you go, okay, you know, let me hold on to the love I have. And when they give more love to me, then I will give more love to them. When you talk about this, or also when it costs us something. Where it costs us to sacrifice, costs us to give up our time, give up things in our schedule. Where love does cost us something. It does cost us sacrifice. And it can be difficult to love those who may not love us back. I know I find it challenging at times to love, you know, when you express love and there's just nothing. You're kind of looking for something. And when I think about, you know, whether someone, if they're, you express love, they don't reciprocate or they don't express the appreciation, you go, there's always that tendency to hold back. You think about if someone hurts you, they wrong you, there's always that tendency to go, you know what, let me just hold back my heart. But then I got to remember and not look at my view of love and what the world mentions about love, but to look at the very heart of God and to put my faith in the love of God, who God loved, whether it be the wicked and the ungrateful, that God loved absolutely everybody. And to have that same heart and to pray and ask God to, God, I know it's hard, but God, give me the strength to be able to do it. Because what good is it, as Jesus said, to love, simply love those who love you back? You know, that doesn't really take faith. But to love those who do not love you back, or who we may believe are not deserving of love, to give that love because God calls us to love them as he has loved them. You know, I think about even last night. You know, I think about last night our son had a fever, and he woke up in the morning, and he was, you know, he was crying, his swollen glands, he was crying. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. And we heard him wake up. And so my wife and I, and of course Karen, she's like, honey, I'll go. And I was like, amen. Every time, in my heart, I was like, yes, I need to demonstrate love. But of course, you know, mom, if their child is sick, no matter what time of the night, of course they're going to get up and go tend to the, and obviously, just to clarify, at times Eric's gotten up and I've went and tend to his, you know, needs at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. But let's just say, last night, I was like, hey man, you know, I was sound asleep, heard him, and I was like, Kara's like, I'm going to go, and I was like, in my heart, I'm like, whew, I'm glad. Because, you know, it costs us different things, whether it be causes sleep to love, it causes sacrifice to love, and sometimes it can be harder, and other times, but at times, but love, you know, demonstrating and doing something. You know, all of us would say it wouldn't be very loving if your child is screaming and here's two parents, they're like, oh, you know what, really having a good sleep, he'll cry it off. Of course not. But love is demonstrated in doing something, in acting and demonstrating it through how we live our day-to-day lives. And that's how we need to be as disciples, how we need to be as a church, where love is not about how we feel towards each other. Love is not about how we feel towards the world, how we feel towards the lost, how we feel towards people in our family group, how we feel towards people in the community. Love is about demonstrating love through action. And it's demonstrating that kind of love simply because God so loved the world and demonstrated his love through sacrifice. And no matter how we feel about people, no matter how we feel about the world, no matter how we feel about this or that, we are called to imitate God's love and to live have a faith that expresses love through our deeds. And so I want to challenge each and every one of us here to think about in our lives who we can express love to. Whether it be in our home, how we can express unconditional love to those in our home, how we can express unconditional love to maybe those in the church, maybe those at work, maybe those at school. wherever it applies to you. But I think about how can I have a faith that expresses itself through action? And the second point is a faith that expresses love through forgiveness. A faith that expresses love through forgiveness. I want to read a book. I want to read from a book that I'm reading. It's called Radical Love. And the section, it talks about forgiveness. I'm going to read a couple different stories and give you some, and kind of share some thoughts of the author. In 2006, Charles Roberts walked into an Amish schoolhouse in Pennsylvania and shot 11 young girls. Five of them died. Roberts then turned the gun on himself. The immediate response of the community, including the families of the victims, was to visit Charles Roberts' widows, bringing flowers, food, and hugs. After Roberts' funeral, several parents who had just buried their own daughters were in attendance. One father explained, "Our forgiveness was not in our words. It was in what we did." Members of a Charleston, South Carolina church were gathered for prayer and Bible study one evening in 2015 when a stranger walked in and joined them. After about 1 hour, the newcomer stood up, raised a gun, and shot 9 people. In a court hearing, family of those who were killed expressed forgiveness for the shooter. Dylan Roof. One of those who spoke was Nadine Collier. Her mother, Ethel Lance, was killed in the tragedy. "I just wanted everybody to know, I forgive you," she said. "You took something very precious away from me. I will never get to talk to her again. I will never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people. If God forgives you, I forgive you." Then the author shares some different perspectives. He says, "Every one of these cases of tragedy and forgiveness is shocking. They are shocking in the sense that needless deaths occurred. But they are also shocking because of the forgiveness that was offered by those who suffered. In some ways, it seems unnatural to be able to forgive when something so terrible and hurtful has happened. The need for revenge is so strong in human nature. Yet all the people mentioned above have learned the greatest lesson that could be taught. Forgiveness is the key to a life of peace. Forgiveness is crucial to a life of love. The shock of forgiveness is demonstrated perfectly through Jesus. If only we could really learn the lesson he came to teach. So much of our lives and problems have to do with grudges, resentments, and hurt feelings. What a radical difference it would make if we could be different. Sometimes, even within the culture of our church, our righteousness outweighs our mercy. We stand on the rock of the truth, but to get there, are we climbing up the pebbles of pettiness?" You know, you think about all the different stories, and the author goes on to share so many different stories about forgiveness, tragedy, and forgiveness. You know, I want to take a look at a couple passages in Luke chapter 17. You know, you read those stories, I'm not sure what you thought of. You know, I'm not sure if something like that would ever happen in your family, how you would respond. But we think about in Luke chapter 17, you know, Jesus says in the middle of verse 3, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. And even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And also we go chapters earlier in Luke chapter 7, we see a story about forgiveness. In Luke chapter 7, we begin reading in verse 36. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever is forgiven, but whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. You know, here we see the apostles. We're like sharks saying, Lord, increase our faith. If we need to forgive like that, please give us the faith to be able to do that. And here we see Jesus with this sinful woman and Simon. For Simon, the woman and Jesus, all were in agreement that the woman lived a sinful life. Jesus knew it. Simon for sure knew it. And of course, a sinful woman knew it as well. But Simon, here is the one that had a problem. That Simon sat in judgment of the sinful woman. Simon did not feel he owed anybody anything. He considered himself better than the sinful woman and better than Jesus. He, however, did not see his need for forgiveness, and also in life did not demonstrate love. You know, a very important truth is that, you know, unless we see our need for forgiveness, we will never be able to love in the way that we should. Unless we see our need and who we are before God, we will never be able to love in the way that we should. You know, there's a thing called pride that will always get in the way. And pride does not forgive, nor does pride forgive very well. Pride always finds someone to look down on or someone to criticize. But when we humble ourselves and we see God's love and forgiveness, we will love more and be critical less. You know, forgiven little, loves little, and forgives little. Forgiven much, loves much, and forgives much. You know, that is all perspective and how we look at our own life before God. Because sometimes we can see or not see that, man, I've been forgiven of a lot. But some of you can say, well, you know, I've been forgiven of just a little. But they, on the other hand, need to be forgiven of a lot. And that's all relative. The main thing is that we see who we are before God. And the more we do that, the more we see how much God forgives us. And then we see that we're forgiven much. Therefore, we can love much. And also, we can have hearts that also forgive much. You know, the thing about forgiveness, forgiveness does not excuse any wrongdoing. When those people in the story offered forgiveness, they're not saying, I forgive them, they didn't do anything wrong. Forgiveness does not excuse wrongdoing. You don't have to accept that in those different stories, you know, those things were, of course, wrong. Forgiveness is about having faith in God. And forgiveness is about, again, having faith in God and being obedient to God and loving and forgiving in the way that God loves and forgives. You know, Jesus never said forgiveness would be easy. If it was, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross for our sins. And when we think about the cross reveals God's immense love for each and every one of us and God's desire to forgive every sinner. You know, I was sharing, something happened, and a situation happened. I don't want to go too much into details. But someone said something, someone did something, and I remember being very hurt by it, deeply hurt by it. And I remember sharing with someone, kind of giving my perspective, sharing my heart with them. And I remember sharing with them that they said, well, how did you respond? I go, well, you know what, as anyone would, when they're hurting, I got angry. I got really angry, I got upset, and I felt like retaliating. And I was sharing with them, and then they said, well, sharing with them, and they go, you know what? Well, Howard, the next step is an apology. And I was sitting there going, absolutely. I think they should apologize. And he's like, no, that's not what I was saying. It was like, you apologize for your reaction. And I was like, my reaction? And I was like, why do I have to apologize for my reaction? Because hurt led to my anger. If they didn't hurt me, then I wouldn't have got angry and wanted to retaliate. So as we started discussing and discussing, like, you know what? Did you respond like Jesus? And I was like, well, they didn't respond. I didn't act like Jesus. So of course I didn't respond like, no, did you respond like Jesus? I go, no, I didn't respond like Jesus. Well, you know what? Then you need to owe an apology because you weren't Christ-like. I sat there in my living room, sat there on my chair, sat there going, I need to think some more. Let me go sit on the other chair. Sitting and wrestling, going, this is just unfair. And then so I was like, okay, you know what? Granted, I need to go, and I'm going to go and apologize. So I went and apologized. So afterwards, and then I was like, well, you know what? I was like, well, I was kind of hoping for something back. And then a brother shared, he goes, you know what, Howard? You know, on certain things, people may not. They may never recognize their wrongdoing. In my heart, I was like, well, I wish you explained that to me before I went and apologized. But I realized, you know what? It doesn't matter about what they do, what I do. It's how I need to be like Jesus. And a person said, you know what, Howard, at times, things are going to happen where, you know what? You guys got to do what you need to do before God. You got to make sure you're Christ-like before God, regardless of what anyone else says, what anyone else does. And even if in this lifetime they don't acknowledge it, God acknowledges it. And we're called to do what God wants us to do. We're called to forgive. We're called to love because Jesus demands it. And that's when I had to reflect and go, you know, it is about Jesus. Jesus demands it. When Jesus was spat on, when he was humiliated, when he was beaten, when he was nailed to the cross, Jesus said, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And if Jesus forgives freely, completely, then it's important that those who follow Jesus, that we also live lives of forgiveness. You know, God, it's very easy to hold on to resentments, bitterness. And I remember my wife was telling me, Howard, this stuff in your heart. It's like, you know what, it seems like it's heading down a certain path. And I was like, you know what? My wife and I had a discussion. We were talking back and forth. And I was like, you know what? I just need to let it go. And the amazing thing is, when in my heart I forgave, In my heart, I felt peace. In my heart, where I go, you know what? Doesn't matter about this. It matters about obeying Jesus. And the thing I've learned, if anything, when I think about last year or still continue to learn, is that living a life of peace, I mean a life of forgiveness, living a life of love is the key to peace. But so many times we hold on to grudges and resentment, hurt feelings. That doesn't do anything for us. But also it's not also being like Christ. You know, you think about the love of God and the forgiveness of God. If that were to be practiced in our homes, practiced in our families, practiced in our communities, practiced in the world, practiced in the church, what a world, what a different world we'd live in. And that's why as we're about to wrap up here and take communion here together, you know, I want us to look deep down into our hearts and examine the love in our hearts. You know, for me, and again, we may have different views about communion itself, but the one thing I do believe is communion is very sacred. It's a very sacred time. It's about union with Christ. And we're called to make sure, when we take communion, to make sure we take communion in a worthy manner. And we got to always make sure that when we come to church, when we're interacting with people, when we're remembering Jesus, that our hearts don't have resentment, hate, bitterness, as we're communing with Jesus. That we make sure our hearts are filled with love. Our hearts are filled with forgiveness when we take communion. You know, what is it that counts, according to Paul? Faith expressing itself through love. You know, it's not about coming to church. It's not about religious activities. It is about having a faith expressing itself through love. A faith that is committed to love, a faith that love that goes beyond talk, that is demonstrated in our deeds and our action. To have a faith that expresses love through forgiveness, that we imitate and practice the very heart of God, who forgives freely and forgives completely. Amen. So as we take communion here this morning, you know, let us remember Jesus, the example of forgiveness. Let us remember Jesus, the example of love. And let us take communion here together as we reflect on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to our Father in prayer.